Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us. Thank you for rescuing us from darkness and bringing us into light. And Jesus, you have called not only yourself the light of the world, but you have called us the light of the world. And Lord, may we be a light to the peoples of the world, that your name can be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, we're going to look at a passage in Matthew chapter 24. It comes at sort of the middle of Jesus' discussion with his disciples. The disciples asked him, when would the end come? And how do we know when, you know, what are the signs of the end of the age? And right in the middle of this passage in Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, Jesus makes a very important statement. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible, actually. So Matthew chapter 24, verse 14, and the scripture will be on the screen there. If you don't have a Bible, there's also a Bible in the pew, little chair in front of you. Matthew 24, 14, and this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come. So there's some important things that in this one verse that Jesus is saying about the gospel. First, he says the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is not about changing your religious background or taking on a new label or starting to subscribe to a certain list of doctrines and having an intellectual belief in a certain statement of faith or joining a church or coming to a building or converting and whatever. That's not the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is basically this. It's all about regime change. There is a new king in town. And that's good news because the old king is so incredibly horrible and bent on death and destruction, and that is Satan. See, God created the world to be inhabited by worshipers of him. And he was the rightful and undisputed king. And yet our first parents decided to stage a rebellion against the king. And in staging that rebellion, a new king said, "Oh, I'm so glad that you rebelled against the rightful king. Now I'm going to take over." And so that is what's happened to this world, is that the devil has set up his kingdom throughout the world. And that's why we see all the mess. But the gospel of the kingdom, gospel simply means good news. The good news of the kingdom is that a new king has shown up on the scene, and that is King Jesus. And he has said, "I am coming to take my rightful place." And this king did something amazing. He didn't come with a huge army. He came as a humble man, and this King Jesus sacrificed himself, taking your punishment and my punishment upon him. And in so doing, he defeated the forces of darkness, he defeated sin, he defeated death itself. And then he rose from the dead, proving that he is the rightful King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And he is ushering in his kingdom, his righteous rule and reign on this earth. And he invites us to be citizens of his kingdom and to sort of tear up our passports of the kingdom of darkness and get a new passport that says kingdom of heaven. And he calls us to repent, to turn away from the old kingdom, and the old king, and to turn to Jesus, the rightful king, and to submit to him, to submit to his kingship, and to say, you are my king. That is good news. That is what people are being invited into a relationship with this new king. The kingdom of God is not a matter of talk, but of power, the Bible says. See, we must not only declare this with words, but demonstrate it. And that's what Jesus did when he was here. He demonstrated the fact that his kingdom had come by healing the sick and by driving out demons. And so as we go and proclaim this good news, we need to do the same thing. Because there's still the force of darkness that is opposing God's kingdom. And so when we come with the power of God, along with the message, it validates the fact that the kingdom is truly here. As I was preparing for this, I felt that there was some of us that were particularly under the attack of the enemy with heaviness. And so right now, I say to you, in the name of Jesus, heaviness and oppression come off of you. And let normal breathing come. To some of you, you've kind of felt this here. Let normal breathing come right now in the name of Jesus. Anyone with ear pain, be gone in the name of Jesus. Normal hearing, be restored in the name of Jesus. We need to demonstrate the power of God. There's a woman named Julie who was born with cerebral palsy. And the Lord has been healing. This is over a number of years. She was telling me the story. Over a number of years, the Lord has been healing her of cerebral palsy. And her doctors has told her that her brain is actually regenerating, which doesn't happen by, you know, those of you that are medical doctors or medical people, you know that that doesn't happen. Except by the miraculous intervention of God, and that's what's happening. And she's come to know Jesus. She's seen the power of God, and Lord willing, she's going to be baptized this week. Another young woman who has heard the message of the kingdom, but she has been plagued by voices in her head that have all kinds of medical diagnoses. But you tell me, this is what the voice said, voices have said to her. As long as you don't pray, and as long as you don't tell people about Jesus, we will leave you alone. That sounds suspicious to me. Is it just me? So this woman needs to experience the kingdom, the power of the kingdom of God. That's not acceptable in the kingdom of God. And Lord willing, this woman is going to be set free and experience the fullness of the kingdom. We are to be ambassadors of Christ, and literally like walking embassies, that where we go, the kingdom of God goes with us. So Jesus said that this good news of the kingdom will be preached. It'll be proclaimed. Now, this is slightly different from saying that we're going to share the love of Jesus, because sometimes that means only doing good works. And that's not what Jesus said. He said the good news of the kingdom will be preached. And that's different than only doing good works. It's not that good works are bad to do. They're good to do. In fact, they often open up the way for the message of the good news to come. But if we stop with just good works, we are falling short of what Jesus said would happen, number one. And people can't enter into the kingdom unless they hear the message, unless they hear the story of this new King Jesus. The other thing that I want to say about the good news being preached, sometimes when we hear the word preached, we take that to mean a guy with a pulpit and a microphone on a stage. Right? Isn't that when you think of preached, like, okay, that's for a very small, you know, less than 0.1% of the people who have the microphone and the pulpit and are on stage. It's for those people. But that's not what Jesus meant by that. Let's look at another passage, Acts chapter 16, verses 6 and 9 and 10. Paul and Silas and Timothy were on one of their mission trips. Acts 16, verse 9 and 10. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Okay, so is Paul going to be looking for some guy to put a wireless mic on him and have a pulpit and have a building? Is that what that means? Let's look and see what it actually meant. In the following verses, verse 13 tells us what it looked like. 13 and 14 and 15. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river. So here's Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke, these four guys. They went outside the city gate to the river where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. So here's what it looked like in one example. Preaching the gospel meant sitting down with a small group of women and having a little talk. That was it. And the Lord honored that. It said the Lord opened her heart to receive the message of the kingdom. And she and her whole household believed and were baptized. What I'm doing right now is such a small part of this work that God is talking about. I really just want to be a cheerleader right now and to encourage all of us to do the simple thing like that, that was demonstrated for us by Paul and his three friends there. So Jesus said, "This good news of the kingdom, this gospel we preached in the whole world." The whole world means every inhabited place. Every place where you find people, that's where the good news of the kingdom of God needs to go. Let's look at Habakkuk 2:14. It says, "For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." So it's not even just that the glory of the Lord is going to be everywhere, because there's some beautiful places in the world that we say, wow, you know, there's really God's glory. But it's more than just that. It says the knowledge of the glory of the Lord, that people will know and experience God's glory, that there will be people experiencing, knowing the glory of God. Where? It says knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Now, I want you to imagine the sea is there any place where there's sea and there's not water? No. Everywhere there is sea, there is water. It's kind of by definition, right? There can't be sea without water. And that's the prophet's point. Every imaginable place where there are human beings, there will be the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. There's not going to be a speck of real estate on this planet where the knowledge of the glory of the Lord is not known. Everywhere. We sung in one of our songs, Distant Shores and the Islands Will See Your Light. There are approximately 20,000 islands in Southeast Asia. 20,000 islands. On one of those islands, I'm going to call it the island of Labrador for security reasons. On the island of Labrador, there's about 2,000 people, Labradorians. And not one of them is a follower of Jesus. Not one. Is there anything wrong with that? Is it going to be that way in the end? No. There will be Labradorians who will know the glory of God, who will be under the lordship of Jesus Christ, living on the island of Labrador in Southeast Asia. They will. But how will they know? There's actually someone who's a part of grace who is trying to get to that island of 2,000 Labradorians. That's the only place they're found in the world, by the way, is on the island of Labrador. And he is trying to go there. But it's very difficult, as you can imagine. There's lots of resistance to get to this one little island of 2,000 people. But the kingdom of God is going to come even there. And maybe there'll be someone here or in live stream that's going to help our friend take the good news to that island. Or another one of the 20,000. So the good news of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world. So that means every geographical place. As a testimony to all the nations. Now, I need some volunteers. Let's see. Israel, thank you for volunteering. Yes, I see that hand. And yes, Matthew? Is that right? All right. We've never formally met before. So this is good. And I need one more. Mr. James Williams. Okay, yeah, come on up. So I want you to imagine that, use right there, and right there, and come in a little bit. Yeah, just right there. Yeah. So I want you to imagine that these three guys, they are all citizens of a particular country. Okay. So we're going to imagine that these three guys, they're all citizens of a particular country, okay? And they're in this country, there are different ethnic groups in one country, okay, just like in America. But this is a particular country in Asia. So imagine that I'm a proclaimer of the good news of the kingdom, and I start here, and I say, hey, Matthew, I just want to tell you about Jesus. Jesus is awesome, and the kingdom of God is coming, and God wants you to be a part of his kingdom. Isn't that awesome?
Yes.
Hey, Israel, I just want to, tell you about Jesus and his kingdom, and he loves you, and your sins can be forgiven, and he's inviting you to relationship with him. What do you think about that?
That's very cool. Hey, James.
Good morning.
Nice weather we're having.
Yeah, a little hot.
It is a little hot, yeah. How are you doing?
I've been better.
Yeah, okay. Well, have a nice day. Is there anything wrong with this picture? What's wrong with this picture? There was one particular people group that was ignored with the gospel. They're all in the same country. They all have the same passport. They're all citizens of the same country. And yet, two out of the three I was willing to go to, and one of the three I was not willing to go to. This is a real situation in a real country, and in fact, this man right here represents the dominant people group in that country. This is not just a smaller number. This is the dominant people group in that particular country. There's something wrong with this picture. Thanks, guys. You can have a seat. But I want to highlight the fact that it's not enough just to go to every geographical place. Because Jesus said the good news of the kingdom will go to every geographical place as a testimony to every nation, that is, ethnic group. And sometimes particular ethnic groups are excluded from the good news of the kingdom of God. In this particular case, with this particular country, it's because there is laws that say you cannot share the good news of the kingdom with this people group right here. It's okay with these two. There's actually more, but for sake of illustration. You can do it with these two, but not with this one. Because if you do, bad things will happen to you. But this is not acceptable. God is not going to say, you know, it's okay for 2/3 of my kids to be found. That's a D plus, right? 67%. Or even 3 out of 4, or even 9 out of 10, or even 99 out of 100. That's still not good enough for Jesus. Every single ethnic group in every geographical place must be reached. Every people in every place. That's what Jesus is saying here in Matthew 24:14. And in order for us to reach every people group in every place, we're going to have to change some of our strategies for getting the message of the good news out. For at least two reasons. One reason, we're not keeping up with the population growth. The increase in the number of followers of Jesus is far, 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 far shorter than the increase in the population. And the most of the practices are just addition. Getting people to come to a central location and adding, 1, 2, 3. So one, we're not making enough headway. Number two, this method of attracting to a large central location isn't going to work, especially in unreached parts of the world. There are countries where you cannot, this kind of gathering is illegal. You can't just do this. And the number of countries where this is increasing. It's one particular country where you can only meet in groups of 8. So, if there's 7 people, okay, everybody invite your neighbors. Well, actually, just one of you invite one of your neighbors, because that's it. Oh, I guess we're done. So what needs to happen is all of those 8 need to be trained to make disciples so that they can then start another little group of 8, and then those 8 can be trained to make disciples who can start another group of 8, and so on and so on and so on, so that multiplication can happen. much faster increase, much more low-key, much more relational. And strategies like this are actually beginning to be used in many places of the world, and thousands of disciples and thousands of house churches are being birthed in this way. So Jesus says, once this happens, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all the nations. He says, and then the end will come. You know, God knows the hour and the day when the end will come. There's something very interesting that is in the book of 2 Peter, that even though there is a day and an hour in the mind of God, there is something that we can do. In 2 Peter chapter 3, kind of a half, starting halfway through verse 11, it says, you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. So think about this. There's a day of God out there, a time and an hour that God knows. It's set. And yet, Peter is saying, there is some way that you can actually speed its coming. You can actually make it get here faster. Even though the time is fixed in the mind of God, we can actually make it come faster. Whoa, how does that happen? Imagine we're all on a boat or several boats, and we've been out to sea for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we're tired and we're thirsty and we're hungry and we're uncomfortable and we're getting on each other's nerves because there's no food, there's no water, we're dying out here in the middle of the ocean. And then someone just looks and sees land, and we haven't seen land in weeks or months. They say, land ho, land ho! And we're all in this rowboat. What are you going to do? You're going to row, right? I mean, if there's land and I've been out here, I'm going to row. Because even though that land is not going, it's fixed, but I can speed its coming. Does that make sense? By rowing. And guess what? I don't want just me to row. I'm like, hey, bro, can you row too? Because look, there's land. And now, I want to row, and I want my friend to row, and I hope my friend is going to tell some other friends to row, and those friends tell other friends to row. Because we all want to get to land. And the more people that are rowing, the faster we're going to get to land and off of this stinking ship that's in the middle of the ocean. This is what Peter is talking about. This is how we can speed the Lord's coming. When we're rowing, when we're all rowing together. Now, we're not all going to be in the same spot on the boat, are we? That would be crazy, you know? We all have a different spot on the rowboat, just like we're all going to have a different spot on the earth to row. Some of you may be rowing from Tanzania, others may be rowing from Southeast Asia, some may be rowing from North Texas. But everyone needs to have an oar in your hand and rowing. That's the point. That the Great Commission is for everyone. It's for the whole world. It's for every believer everywhere. Every believer everywhere should have an oar in the water rowing towards the shore. That's it. And if we're all, because we all want Jesus to come back, right? I mean, I think we're kind of like done with this present world and its system. We all want Jesus to come back. This is how we make it come faster. By all rowing. To get to the end faster. And like I said, not all of us are going to be in the same part of the boat. And God may be calling you to a different part of the boat, because that will help get to the shore faster. And my family and I just recently got back from a trip to South Asia, and we're considering moving to a different part of the boat in order to row from that spot on the boat in order to make the end come quicker. And I have been praying that God would call more people to different parts of the boat where there's nobody sitting. Because there needs to be someone sitting in every part of the boat in order to get there. So I've been praying that God would give dreams and visions. I pray this quite often, that God would give us dreams and visions about where he wants us to go. In fact, there was someone, I just heard this, someone was telling me that a friend of his recently had a dream of working with children. And at the end of the dream, he just heard the word Myanmar. And he didn't know, even know what that meant. He didn't know that that was the name of an actual country. I thought that interesting. Take note of that. What might God be speaking to you through that? I was sharing this passage with a Jewish friend of mine, Matthew 24:14, and he's not a believer, but he said to me, wait a minute. So, according to you, your Messiah is going to come back when every people in every place, they've heard this message that you're talking about. Then he's going to come back. And like, yeah. I was excited that he understood it. He understood the concept. And he's like, well, so why isn't everybody doing it? And I didn't quite know how to answer him, honestly. I said, you know what, Ken? It's very perceptive. I don't know the answer to that. But we should be, just like you said. I think you got a handout that's called My Great Commission. It's a little half sheet, looks like this. And there's some possible opportunities for you to spend a short or a longer time in another part of the boat. And you can look through that. I want to highlight a couple. This is a total, completely shameless plug. For Multiply and Launch. Multiply will put an oar in your hand, show you how to row, and give you some energy bars to keep going. So that you can just take it wherever. Go to any old part of the boat you want to go. That's really the point of that. There was someone that emailed me recently and said, hey, I signed up, but I just want you to know I'm a little fearful. I said, you know what? But she still signed up. And I said, you know what? This is so awesome because every single morning I pray against fear in my own life. Wait, you, Brian? But you don't look like you have fear. I do. Every single morning. Even this morning? Yes, even this morning. I just go through the laundry list of fears that I have with regarding to sharing the good news of the kingdom. Every morning. Because I deal with this fear every day, and so I have to pray against it every morning. That's just the way it is for me. Maybe some of you don't have that. Praise God. It's not that way with me. I pray against it every morning, this fear thing. And for some of you, that is the key thing that is keeping you from being a sharer of the good news of the kingdom. It's fear. And it doesn't need to be. Because God can overcome that in your life. And so there's a couple things that I want you to do in response. I'm asking you to do is look on that list and pray and see, is God calling me to do something here? Second thing is this, and because of sake of time, we're going to do this a little differently than I had planned. Some of you know that you are struggling with fear, and God can set you free from that so that you can get an oar and start rowing more effectively. Okay, so I'm going to close with a general prayer, and if that's you, just in your heart, say, yes, God, that's me. I'm just going to be honest with you and saying I have fears about talking to people, whether it's my coworkers, friends, families, and people have overcome that. But one of the guys who's kind of learned how to row. He shared with his neighbor about Jesus, baptized her maybe a couple weeks later. Another time he was at his office, and he just started talking about what God was doing in his life to one of his coworkers. And the coworker just starts crying. She says, I need to be baptized. Ordinary guy, living an ordinary life with his neighbors, coworkers, and that's what's happening. I could tell you many more stories that I don't have time for. Just that, yes, you can. Friends, family, coworkers, whoever, yes, you can. You can. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you can. So I'm going to close in prayer. Father, I pray in the name of Jesus that every fear, every hindrance, every whatever that would get in the way of us being proclaimers, preachers, sharers, discussers of the good news of the kingdom of God in the name of Jesus, that everything, every hindrance, every barrier would be broken today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we want to speed your coming. We want to see the nations reached, Lord, that are unreached. I'm asking you again, Lord, as I've asked you many times before, to give dreams and visions to the people in this congregation. And Lord, the ones that have had a dream, would you even remind them right now? Remember when I gave you that dream a week ago? Now you know what it's for. Some of you have had dreams. Lord, bring it back to their minds even right now to confirm your word that that was from you. That was not the pizza they had the night before. That was from you. Speak clearly to hearts, Lord, whether it's across the street or across the world in one of 20,000 islands. In Jesus' name, amen.